William Wordsworth. Life and Works. William Wordsworth was born in Cumberland, now called Cumbria, in the English Lake District. He was educated at St. John's College, Cambridge, and in 1790 he went on a walking tour of France and the Alps. His contact with revolutionary France filled him with the enthusiasm for the democratic ideals which he hoped could lead to a new and just social order. He returned to France. The brutal, destructive developments of the revolution and the war between England and France brought him to the edge of a nervous breakdown. The despair and disillusionment of these years were healed by the contact with nature, which he rediscovered in Dorset, where he went to live with his sister Dorothy in 1795. She remained his most faithful friend. She constantly supported his poetry. She copied down his poems and recorded their life in her journals, which sometimes provide an interesting insight into the experiences which generated Wordsworth's poems. In the same year, he moved to Somerset to be near Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Their friendship proved crucial to the development of English romantic poetry. They produced a collection of poems called Lyrical Ballads, which appeared anonymously in 1798. The second edition of 1800 also contained Wordsworth's famous preface, which was to become the manifesto of English Romanticism. In 1799, William and Dorothy settled in the Lake District, and in 1802, William married a childhood friend, Mary Hutchinson, and they had five children. In the following years, Wordsworth wrote some of his best poems, which were published in two volumes in 1807. In 1805, he had finished his masterpiece, The Prelude. His reputation as a poet grew steadily, and in 1843 he was made Poet Laureate. The last years of his life were marked by the growing conservatism of his political views. He died in 1850, at the age of 80. The Manifesto of English Romanticism. In the 18th century, English poetry was mainly composed in the highest diction. Wordsworth, however, proposed poetry as a radical solitary act, originating not in the extraordinary, but in the ordinary. He belonged to the first generation of Romantic poets, which was characterized by the attempt to theorize about poetry. Wordsworth's strongest objection to 18th century poetry was its artificially elevated language, which he called poetic diction. In his preface, he stated that the subject matter should deal with everyday situations or incidents, and with ordinary people. The language should be simple, the objects mentioned homely, and called for their ordinary names. The reason for Wordsworth's choice lies in the fact that in humble rural life, man is nearer to his purer passions. Therefore, the poet is not a man in an ivory tower, but a man among men, writing about what interests mankind. Man and nature. Wordsworth's shared Rousseau's faith in the goodness of nature, as well as in the excellence of the child. He had an equal trust in the good that many men get from the cultivation of his senses and feelings. Wordsworth was interested in the relationship between the natural world and the human consciousness. His poetry offers a detailed account of the complex interaction between man and nature, of the influences, insights, emotions, and sensations which arise from this contact, rather than precise and objective observation of natural phenomena. When a natural object is described, the main focus of interest is actually the poet's response to that object. Wordsworth believed that man and nature are inseparable. Man exists not outside the natural world, but as an active participant in it. In his pantheistic view, Wordsworth saw nature as something that includes both inanimate and human nature. Each is a part of the same whole. Nature comforts man in sorrow. It is a source of pleasure and joy. It teaches man to love and to act in a moral way. It is the seat of the mighty spirit of the universe. The senses and memory. Nature also means the world of sense perceptions. Wordsworth exploited above all the sensibility of the eye and ear, through which he could perceive both the beauteous forms of nature and the sounds of the winds or waters, or the silence of secluded places. Wordsworth was influenced by the associationist philosopher David Hartley in his belief that our moral character develops during childhood as a result of the pleasure and pain caused by our physical experiences. Sensations lead to simple thoughts, which later combine into complex and organized ideas. In fact, Wordsworth was most interested in the growth of his relationship with nature, in the ways it influenced him at different points in his life, and the ways in which his awareness of it changed. Memory, therefore, is a major force in the process of growth of the poet's mind and moral character, and it is memory that allows Wordsworth to give poetry its life and power. Recollection in tranquility. Wordsworth claimed imagination as his supreme gift, but at the same time, he gave the world a new meaning. Imagination refers to this accurate, faithful, and loving observation of nature. He used imagination as a synonym of intuition, of seeing into, and even through reality, but he never admitted a divorce between it and reality. All genuine poetry takes its origin from emotion recollected in tranquility, so that what we read in the poem results from the active, vital relationship of present to past experience. Through the recreative power of memory, the emotion is reproduced and purified in poetic form. The poet's task and his style. The poet, though a common man, has greater sensibility and the ability to penetrate the heart of things. The power of imagination enables him to communicate his knowledge, so that he becomes a teacher who shows men how to understand their feelings and improve their moral being. His task consists in drawing attention through the ordinary things of life to the humblest people, where the deepest emotions and truths are to be found. Wordsworth abandoned the 18th century heroic couplet. He almost always used blank verse, though he proved skillful at several verse forms, such as sonnets, odes, ballads, and lyrics, with short lines and simple rhyme.